Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey there, everybody. It is Tuesday, June 14th, 2022. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where, like Stephen A. Smith, we've also been approached about a run for Senate. It's me, your man, MJ Marcus Grant, alongside Michael F. Florio, producer Randy at the controls. And because it is summer, we have a special guest. I will introduce him in just a moment. But I want to kind of clean this up. It's Tuesday. You know, we usually come to you on Wednesday. But a little bit of housekeeping. The next couple of days, we have the NFL Media Talent Summit, which I wish I could tell you was way more exciting than it actually is. I'm sure a lot of you out there who will listen to this show, you know, your companies have all hands offsite meetings. This is pretty much that. We spend the next couple days hearing about all the things we did well, all the things that we need to do better. And I think Michael Irvin does a couple of trust falls in there somewhere. I'm not really sure. But that's what's going on. So instead of doing our show on Wednesday, we're doing it to you on Tuesday. We thought about holding it and releasing it tomorrow, but Florio, you know our luck. If we were to do that, then chances are, you know, all hell would break loose. Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield would get traded for each other. Deshaun Watson would be suspended for 3 years. Like, if we just held this show back, like, literally all the news in the world would happen if we waited a day.
I think they're waiting on that news to announce it until we pre-record a podcast, and then they're like, now, go, release that news.
You know, I know that Roger Goodell is a huge fan of this show. I know he can't miss it, and I think he waits until we're done to have some things out. But anyway, let's get to our guest. As I mentioned, we have a cavalcade of fantasy stars throughout the entire summer. Some folks that you probably do know, some folks maybe you don't. And if you don't, we're always glad to introduce them to you. This is a guy that I have had the chance to meet. Originally had to meet, you know, over the internet. I was kind of, you know, following his work, and he was following mine, and we became sort of Twitter friends. And then last week, I had a chance to finally meet him in person because he is our new coworker. You know him probably from Twitter at Real Deal Fantasy. He's in so many different spots, but now he's also a researcher at NFL Media. It is Laquan Jones. LQ, I guess congratulations on getting the gig. Welcome to Los Angeles, and welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, man. This is awesome. This is great, man. I love you guys. I love the show and happy to be here and talk some fire content.
Yeah, man. So I got to ask you, because like I said, you live out on the East Coast. You're in the process of moving to Los Angeles. And in the meantime, you've started the job. I gotta kind of give you a hard time because you tweeted, you had been in here, you've been out here a couple of days, and one day you tweeted, got my first taste of welcome to LA trash ass 405 traffic. You didn't really understand. You thought we were making it up, huh? When we talked about how bad the traffic on the 405 was. You didn't really believe us. Now you believe us, don't you?
Yeah, I believe everything you guys say. Oh my God. It was absolutely terrible. And it was a small taste that day. And like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, what is going on? Like, nobody's moving. Like, just go. What's stopping you? But oh my God, I was so stressed. And I was just like, I do not want to do this at like 5 o'clock leaving work, going home. Like, that's an hour and away. Like, no, I'm not ready for the traffic.
Yeah, I will say that you learn tricks. One, you might learn some alternate routes. You might try that occasionally, or you'll catch up on a lot of podcasts. It's probably what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
It made me think though. So, I mean, Florio, you were a native New Yorker. You came out here from New York. Did you have like a welcome to LA moment, sort of like where, whether it's traffic or celebrity sighting or something, like, did you have like your special welcome to LA moment?
Yeah. The traffic one, not as much, because it's not as bad as out here, but there's traffic in New York that's pretty bad. For me, I would say it was like the second month I was out here. A couple of friends were in town and we were like just hitting up some tourist spots, and we were on Abbot Kinney, and we walked by and someone was like, "That's Johnny Knoxville." And he was just like in a kid store, like shopping for whatever he was shopping for. And he turned around and there was like six of us just looking at him, and then he just turned back to whatever he was looking at. And I was like, oh, they're like normal people who we're just gonna and although I will say that kind of spoiled me, because I haven't just seen a celebrity in the wild since.
Oh really? Yeah, I mean, you see them every so often. I think I saw Jimmy Smits at an In-N-Out. I saw Tyra Banks at a Jamba Juice once. You know, you just kind of see them. When you live here long enough, you'll kind of start to see them in certain places. I will say that for me, as a Bay Area kid, I mean, I'd been to Los Angeles plenty growing up in the Bay Area. But my first, like when I lived here, when I moved here in college, I think my first one was going to Hollywood and realizing that Hollywood kind of sucks.
Yes.
You know, I remember like in college, we all decided on a Friday night to go see a movie at the Chinese Theater. And I was super excited. We drove over to Hollywood and I'm like, ew. And I think in the years since, the best description I've heard of Hollywood is that it's sort of like a dive bar, in that like you go to Hollywood at night and there's lights and there's music and there's people and you're like, this place is kind of cool. And then you see it with the lights on, you're like, this place is awful. Why was I here? So LQ, if you ever get out to Hollywood, which at some point you should at least see it, go check it
out. Yeah, I'll
stroll through. Be prepared. I will also tell you that it's a lot nicer now than it was, say, 20 years ago, but it's still very much like the dive bar of LA cities.
I comp it to Times Square all the time. Like, yeah. you go there. If you live here, you, for me at least, you only go there when people from out of town come in and they're like, I have to see it. Like, I did the Walk of Stars markets like six times the first year I was out here. I never want to see those stars again.
Yeah, no, yeah, you don't need to see them again. It's fine. There's a whole bunch of stars on the street. Like, if you walk it long enough, you may, you know, you'll see some people that you know that you recognize. You know, I guess you can go to the Chinese Theater and take a picture with a dude in a Spider-Man outfit if you want. If you're lucky, maybe Spider-Man will get in a fight over territory with Batman. Something like that. Oh yes, Randy Boyd brings up the point. If you are anywhere, if you're in Hollywood, if you're in Venice, wherever it is, if somebody hands you a CD, don't take it. it's somebody trying to go Master P on you and sell their music out of their trunk.
Oh my gosh.
I quick story. I actually did it once. I went to a dispensary and I bought the CD from the guy working there and I put it in my car and I listened to it for like 5 minutes. I'm like, this is awful. And I just That's $5 I'll never get back.
Yeah. I got in a mall in New York once, and then I found the workaround was just being like, oh, I don't have cash on me, I only got my card. But now I think some of them carry like those card readers. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, no, like, way am I doing that?
Or you can like, you know, Venmo them or something like that. You know? Whatever. All right. I know people didn't come to listen to this show to hear us talk about our LA stories, even though they're fun. But we do have some stuff to talk about. We will do another fantasy draft of things because those have gone really well. We have been pleasantly surprised at the reaction those have gotten, so we'll do another one of those. But let's start with a little bit of off-season chatter because, again, this is sort of the dead period. This is, you know, I know there's mini camps and stuff going on, but there's really no actual news. So we got some off-season chatter. We'll start in Las Vegas, where Josh Jacobs is always a source of discussion. He's always a focal point of discussion in fantasy. But a report by Vic Tafur of The Athletic says that the Raiders are considering a running back by committee approach. Now, Josh Jacobs has always been a guy that people are so on. At last check on Fantasy Football Calculator, his ADP was late fourth rounds, 4.10. So, LQ, with this talk that the Raiders could go committee situation, late fourth round for Josh Jacobs, are you feeling that or nah?
Nah, I'm gonna have to say it's a little nasty. Like, my fingers get sticky, like, just thinking about even pressing the draft on him, because it's like, I'd rather take guys that are going around him. Like, I'd rather take a Damian Harris. I'll take a James Conner, or I'll just wait around later and get an AJ Dillon. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Just, we're hearing reports he's unlikely to get the bell cow role. And, you know, they're bringing in Josh McDaniels with these running backs. You got Brandon Bolden, Amir Abdullah. Like, obviously they're investing in the passing game, and then they went and drafted Zamir White. So it's like, nothing's really attractive about him. Like, I can't sit there and say, hey, this is my RB1 or RB2, and I'm happy about it.
I mean, how are you feeling about it, Florio? Are you the same? I mean, is there hope for Josh Jacobs? Or is he going to sink to a point that you feel like you can be okay drafting him?
He'd have to fall even further, I think, because I'm agreeing. I don't really want any. I've never been a big Josh Jacobs guy because of the pass game usage. And I understand last year, you can make the argument he was top five in running back catches, but I think last year broke perfect for Josh Jacobs. I mean, Darren Waller missed a whole bunch of time. Their receivers got cut thin right early in the season, and they weren't really ever to replace that. It's also kind of why I'm souring on Hunter Renfrow, because I just don't know if those guys are going to get the same opportunities now with the healthy Waller, with Davante Adams, who's going to get 150 plus targets. And like, yeah, they threw the ball to Josh Jacobs, but then they went out and they brought in Brandon Bolden, who had more catches than carries last year. And they brought in Amir Abdullah, who was used as a pass catching specialist, which to me tells me that they're not comfortable using Josh Jacobs as a three down back.
Well, yeah. And on top of it, you talk about, you know, Waller being hurt and all the other receivers not being there. I mean, also throw in the fact that Kenyon Drake was sort of in and out of the lineup too, and they brought him in as a guy who could catch the football a little bit, and he was not consistently in the lineup for the Raiders, and that certainly had an impact on things. So, but you sort of mentioned some of the guys, right? I mean, Drake, in theory, is going to be there and back and healthy. Brandon Bolden is going to be there as the Raiders try to create Patriots West, I guess. Amir Abdullah, who his one great moment in the NFL is still the cut he made in a preseason game that like blew away fantasy Twitter and like boosted him up draft boards, and he was really never heard from again. Then they drafted Zamir White. So, Florio, any of those guys, obviously being late round guys, but any of them hold any interest for you?
Not really. To me, I think this is more a situation that maybe one of these guys could blossom off the waiver wire as the year goes on, but as long as Josh Jacobs there, all of these guys are in a very limited role. I could see if, like, say, Bolden, who has that rapport with McDaniels there, if he was to, you know, get all the third down work and the 2 minute drill stuff, then maybe he could be like a solid flex option at times. But I'm really not too interested in any of the backups here as of now.
Yeah, you know, it's a muddled situation. You know, it kind of. LQ, it's kind of like shades of Miami, right? Like, you got all those running backs in Miami that we don't really know what to do with. I mean, I don't know. Like, Florio doesn't seem to be all in on him. Do you have a plan? Do you have any interest anywhere deeper on the depth chart?
I might stash one of these guys. Like, I can't think off the top of my head who it will be, because one of these guys might get cut during camp. But it's like, if I learned anything from last season, like, running backs are going to go down. Like, we were basically at the point where Amir Abdullah was looking like an attractive starter. So it might be him where I have to stash him based on, you know, some type of injuries happening.
I'm never going to turn my nose up at a guy further down on the depth chart as somebody who a few years ago rostered Patrick Laird late in the season to try and sneak into the playoffs. Spoiler alert, I did not sneak into the playoffs with Patrick Laird. Moving on to Dallas, I keep saying that during the offseason, pretty much every fantasy relevant skill position player has like his own day on fantasy Twitter, and it appeared that Monday was Tony Pollard day. I guess by extension, Ezekiel Elliott day. That's because there was talk that Tony Pollard is looking at maybe working out at receiver during OTAs. He just wants to get on the field more. He just wants more opportunities. He understands that Zeke is still the lead back there in Dallas, and he's always going to kind of be playing in his shadow. Laquan, I feel like every offseason we get a couple of stories like this, right, of a running back who's switching to wide receiver. This guy's going to play in the slot more, and it feels like a lot of smoke, right? Like, we talk about it, and it never really materializes. And even those guys who end up kind of being sort of part-time slot receivers, it rarely feels like enough to be actually valuable for our purposes. So with all this talk of Tony Pollard maybe being the slot receiver, are you putting any credence behind it, or is this just, you know, things we say in June?
It's things we say in June, Marcus. It's nothing really that we need to pay attention to. I mean, honestly, it's great that he's working out a slot. It's great that he wants more opportunities. But when it comes down to the fantasy draft, I'm not looking to have his stock rise to where it's like, for what? I'm going for Zeke. Like, I'm drafting Zeke so confidently, it's not even funny. Like, his discount right now is great, and I love, you know, everything about Zeke before he got hurt. Let's say that, the four games that he had. He was on track to, you know, have a great year. He's looking slimmer. He's looking faster. But then the injury happened. So, you know, Tony Pollard steps in. He has his one game where he puts up like 23 points against the fourth worst, you know, defense against the run, against running backs and fantasy. They were giving him 22 fantasy points last year, and it's the Chargers. So, therefore, he had that one big game, and then we never really had a fantasy relevant year, I mean, after that. So, I'm pretty good off of Tony Pollard.
Florio, I know how you feel about Zeke and that you are pretty much avoiding him when and where possible. Does this change your mind at all about him? I mean, I guess this is sort of a corollary. Like, do you believe this is really going to happen? And if it really does happen, does it change how you feel about Zeke?
It doesn't change how I feel about Zeke. It really doesn't change how I feel about Pollard either. I guess it's a good thing in the sense that, like, because Pollard is limited on how many snaps he can get out of the backfield, it doesn't hurt for him to be able to line up elsewhere and potentially get other opportunities. But you mentioned it. This is just what happens in June. It's like June gloom, right? Like, he's at least
I know what that the is. Top of,
yeah,
I was gonna warn you about that. Yeah,
I know what that is.
Oh, it's been gloomy here the last couple of days, but this is at least the third running back. Like, Saquon Barkley, there was a report that he was lining up out wide at times. Dalvin Cook, I believe, was the other one that we've seen a report. To me, it's like, because it's early June, you're trying to limit the amount of, like, hits these guys could take potentially. And also, like, we know what they can do as a running back. It doesn't hurt to have another skill set. But I question how much it's actually going to translate into games.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you guys on that. Like, I just feel like this is a thing that, you know, I feel like this is Tony Pollard sort of wish casting, right? He's out there saying, I want to line up in the slot. I'm willing to do this. This is what I can do to help the ball club. And it's a great attitude to have. I'm sure the coaches are certainly all about it. Like, hey, we want you to help. We want you to be involved as much as possible. But I think when it comes to it, and they're actually playing actual real games that count, we may see it a handful of times. It'll be one of those things where they sort of throw it in there maybe as a wrinkle, but I just don't think it's going to be a major, major part of their offense. Side note to this, and I've seen this a few times this morning on Twitter, talk from Mike McCarthy that Dak Prescott might be running a little bit more. And Mike, you and I kind of talked about this last week, I think it was, where, you know, he's a little bit more healthy, right? He's a full year removed from that awful leg injury he had, and maybe that means he runs a little bit more. I mean, so I know you and I talked about it. Laquan, I don't know how you feel about Dak. Is this something that you're going to factor in if he actually becomes more of a runner again?
I like Dak. I like for what he is. I honestly, personally, don't want him to run more just so he could stay upright and stay on the field. I mean, if I'm drafting Dak, I'm drafting him for, you know, for them to be the number one scoring offense and for them to be a high power offense to get these guys spread the ball around where we have multiple players on the offense fantasy relevant. And for him to be running, I don't see him built like a Josh Allen that can run over a linebacker and keep going. I feel as though Dak needs to stay in the pocket and stay healthy. So I'm not for it, but if he's running more, you know, great, but I'm just going to be worried every single Sunday putting him in.
Yeah. I'm curious to see whether or not this happens right now. Again, this could be things said in June. Maybe that's a new segment for the show. Like, you know, things we say in June, like, you know, and whether or not they actually happen once we get to like September or October. Up in Seattle, there's a quarterback battle. Geno Smith and Drew Lock are fighting it out. I know early on there was talk that Geno Smith was kind of the number one and he looked like he was on track to start. Now maybe Drew Lock has gotten back in the fray through a couple of haymakers and is kind of getting back into things. But Mike, it looks like there's going to be a legitimate quarterback battle throughout the summer and into the early fall with these two. I asked this last week with stepmom Lauren about the potential quarterback battle in Pittsburgh. I will ask you this one. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but in the interest of just putting this information out to our listeners, are either of these guys draftable? And I'm talking just basic one QB leagues. Are either of these guys draftable?
hard no. No, not at all. Like, even in the Superflex, I think these guys are more like backups or desperation, yeah, like QB2s. But I do think, though, Seattle is firmly going to go into the season with these guys. Like, we're hearing reports that Baker potentially to Carolina is heating up. But the Seahawks have 2 first-round picks next year. I think they know, hey, let's – I'm not saying Pete Carroll's going to be like, let's lose, but I'm thinking like they know what they are this year, and they know their quarterback of the future is probably in next year's draft.
I wonder, do they know who they are? Because Pete Carroll seems to be talking out loud like they're ready to compete. Like, you know, like they're not in the same division with the defending Super Bowl champions and the, you know, the other team that played in the NFC championship game. Like, he acts like they're not in the same division with 2 of the best teams in the NFC and the Cardinals, who are no slouch. I mean, he's talking like they are legitimately going to compete. I mean, Pete, I love you. Look, man, like, you brought me so much joy at USC winning national championships, and fight on forever. We will love you. But, bro, you guys are a long way from being competitive right now within the division. So that being said, Laquan, obviously we're not drafting either Drew Lock or Geno Smith unless you're in the most desperate of situations. But one of these guys is going to be the starting quarterback this year. We are still, though, drafting their wide receivers, even if the ADPs for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are lower than what we've seen in recent years. These guys are still going to get drafted.
Yeah.
Is there one of these quarterbacks that you would prefer over the other to help out those wide receivers?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go with the guy that's been in the system already. We've seen what he put on tape in a Seahawks jersey. I actually liked, you know, what I saw from Geno at times. You know, he's still playing a little, I wouldn't say draw back, but he's airing it out at times. DK was making some plays. You know, Ty Lockett was getting involved as well. And I feel as though, you know, Geno will give them the best chance to win games. I mean, they may win 4 to 6 games with him. Drew Lock, they're winning 2 games, flat out. Two games with Drew Lock.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have a preference? I guess Geno's my pick. I don't know if you have a preference, if you feel strongly one way or another, Florio.
This might sound like a cop-out. I feel like Tyler Lockett would be better with Geno Smith because he relies a little bit more on, like, precision and stuff like that. And I feel like Drew Lock's the type of quarterback that would just air it out, like, 10 times a game and be like, DK, make a catch. So Lock might be better suited for DK's skill set. But I agree. I think Geno overall is the better of the two options here.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. I mean, look, I know he never became the quarterback that people thought he would be when he was drafted. But give him credit for having hung around the NFL this long, right? And at least holding down backup jobs. And look, he had a couple of decent games last year when Russell Wilson got hurt. So, you know, he's at least a competent backup. You could put him in the game and feel like you know, he's not going to completely sink the ship for you. So I guess there's that.
He has confidence. He has more confidence than Drew Lock.
He absolutely has confidence. Here's the thing. I think Drew Lock has confidence too. Like, Drew Lock's not afraid to throw the deep ball. He just doesn't do it well.
And he knows that.
But he's not scared of doing it, right? Like, you look at a guy like Marcus Mariota, who just seemed consistently afraid to push the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. Drew Lock's not that guy. You know, he just needs to get better.
The memorable career moment is rapping on the sideline. So I don't know what that says about his career.
Yeah, that's probably true. Before we hit the break, and I meant to bring this up earlier. I don't know if did you guys see the latest in fantasy football punishments? It was floating about on Twitter yesterday. A guy who came in last place in his fantasy league, his name is Chris. His punishment was to go to a restaurant by himself but bring a large teddy bear as a date. So there are photos on the internet of this guy. Just judging by the decor, it looks like an Italian restaurant or something like that. But it's him sitting at a table with a giant stuffed Winnie the Pooh bear next to him. And I believe it looks like he bought the bear a plate of mussels. I mean, there's a plate of food in front of the bear. It was not just enough for him to take the bear out to dinner, which, by the way, I don't buy the bear mussels. Mussels are expensive. Like,
that's insane. Top dollar.
Get him like a salad or something. Like, what are you doing?
Get water.
But But on top of it, he couldn't just sit there and have dinner with the bear. He had to draw attention to himself. So at some point in the evening, he had the wait staff come out and sing happy birthday to him in the restaurant so that everybody in the restaurant would turn around and look and see that this poor guy was sitting here by himself eating with
to the outside looking in. It has to look like he got stood up on a date, right? Like,
yeah. Right, like he
was just crazy.
He brought this big giant bear for somebody to like give as a gift, and that person didn't show up. And yeah,
so, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, this guy's nuts. Get him out of here.
So I'll tell you this: I still think that's better than 24 hours in a Waffle House.
Yeah,
and I love Waffle House. I've been on record as saying I have an irrational love for Waffle House, but 24 hours in a Waffle House is a lot.
You see some wild things.
24 hours anywhere is a long time.
Very true. You see some wild things overnight at a Waffle House. You know, props to Chris for sticking it out and dealing with his punishment. You know, he didn't have to get slapped by Tommy Pham, so I guess there's an upside for it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We will do our fantasy draft of things. That's next on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Time for another FDOT fantasy draft of things. This is our third one. And Flory, we have been pleasantly surprised at, this was like a goofy thing I'm doing to fill time on the podcast in the middle of the summer. But people have responded to it. So we give the people what they want. And you kind of ran away with last week with the animated movies draft. So props to you for that.
Thank you. 2 weeks ago, I expected to get crushed, and water of all drinks kind of saved my performance. But I felt really good after the basically because I got all the Disney hits.
Yeah.
And I know that pleases the crowd.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because so like as the voting was going on, you know, stepmom Lauren and I were in contact with each other, and we firmly believe that a lot of it was generational, that that people of a certain generation, that you really hit the touchstone, you hit the demographic of our listenership and our Twitter following.
There you go.
With the movies you selected, and us olds had a little bit of a harder time kind of connecting with the people. So this week we're going back to the culinary well. Week one, we did non-alcoholic beverages with Troy King. Last week was the animated movies with stepmom Lauren. So this week we're going back to the culinary well, and we're going to go breakfast foods. We'll do it same as always. Four rounds, no snakes. We just kind of keep the same rotation all the way through. Laquan, as the guest, you will get to go first. Flory will go second. I'll go third. We're gonna go breakfast foods in this one. I know this was sort of at your suggestion, Laquan. So that means you got to step it up though, because one, you sort of suggested it. Also because through the first 2 weeks, we have not had a guest win. I squeaked out the first week's win. Floria won last week in a blowout. So so we have not had a guest.
The pressure's on.
We have not had a guest come in and get a win. So the pressure's on. So you get the 1.01. What is the first overall pick in the breakfast foods category?
I'm coming in hot. I mean, it's bacon, man. Everybody loves bacon. It's the 101. It's the CMC, man.
That was the Jonathan Taylor pick. I think everybody knew bacon was coming off the board first here. So,
got to.
All right. So bacon is off the board. So Florio, I give it to you.
Bacon would have been my choice here, of course. But I'll take what I eat with the bacon, my favorite breakfast is chocolate chip pancakes.
Ooh, that was a fire. opening. Okay. All right. So we got bacon off the board. We got chocolate chip pancakes off the board. So I'm going to go maybe a little bit. I don't know where to go now. Like I had something in mind, but now I have to kind of sort of switch things up. You know what? I'm going to go with because I know pancakes are kind of controversial for folks. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to go with a Belgian waffle as my first round pick. No. Just a straight up.
I just got sniped.
Oh! All right. So we got bacon, we got chocolate chip pancakes, we got Belgian waffles off the board. So it's back to you, Laquan. What's the first pick of the second round?
I got bacon and Belgian waffle. Like, I'm looking at my notes. Like, this is nuts. I just got sniped. But I'm going to go a little heavier. I'm going to go with the omelet. Just go with a straight up omelet.
Just a regular omelet, huh?
With ham. Omelet with
ham. So like a ham and cheese omelet. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. Let me put this here in the notes. All right. So we got a ham and cheese omelet off the board to start round two. Floria, what you got?
I guess I kind of need a ruling on this, but I'm from New York. This is a staple, a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and listen, no offense to LA, Marcus. Out here, they try to make it like fresh and it tastes good, but I like the like bodega, like the guys, like it's like 3 feet of grease on the grill. And like, they're just that to me is the best kind of bacon, egg, and cheese.
There you go.
All right. All right. So bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich is off the board here. So I'm going to go. So this is what I thought about doing in the first round. I'm going to come back and take it in the second round. And I know it's maybe considered more of a brunch staple, but you can do it for breakfast. I'm just going with a straight up mimosa in round two. You know,
yeah, I think you're running away with this one right now.
I gotta see if I can incorporate the brunch crowd in here, see if I can make them happy, but just a good old fashioned mimosa in the morning. So, all right,
Belgian waffle and mimosa sounds great right now.
I was going to say, we're building such a great breakfast right now.
All right, so we are through two rounds. It's back to the top of the board. Laquan, what do you got for round three?
Man, I'm gonna go with some French toast.
Okay,
French toast. We're gonna throw that in.
This is a very carby draft right now. I mean, pancakes, yes, and waffles, and sandwiches, and French toast. A lot of carbs. a lot of carbs in this draft. All right, okay. So Florio, then the board is back to you.
Yeah, a lot of carbs. I gotta get a little side action going. So I'm gonna go with hash browns, which I don't think get enough love because they are delicious.
They don't get enough love. They don't. All right, okay. So you got hash browns here. So my third round pick, I'm gonna go. Laquan took bacon, which is not a surprise. I'm gonna go maybe a little bit. You know what? I'm gonna go a little bit kind of off board, and this is. I won't say it's an LA thing, but you can find it really good in LA. I'm gonna get some chorizo with my breakfast. Yeah, I'm gonna get chorizo on my third round pick, and because I have to have some sort of protein, right? I got waffles, I got mimosa, I need some protein with my breakfast, so I'm gonna take some chorizo here in the third round. All right, last round. I'm basically just building a plate is all I'm doing right now. Right? Just building my own plate. All right, so Laquan, round four, what do you got?
So we got to go with the basis, man. We all grew up on it. Man, Lucky Charm, cereal, man. We just got to have it to the dish. Add it right there.
All
right,
so it's just
a nice full breakfast.
So you're going cereal or you're going a specific cereal here?
We could do Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes, Honey Cones.
All right, all right. I'll give you cereal, but I'll throw some Lucky Charms here in the parentheses just in case.
Nice.
All right, Florio, your final pick.
So I don't know what to officially call this. I think everyone kind of has its own name for it. Nicolette and I call it toad in a hole, but it's the thing where like you carve out the middle of a piece of bread and you put an egg in it. I don't know if you guys have ever eaten that
I've
before.
I've never eaten that.
Oh, I don't know the official name of it. But basically what you do is you just carve out the center of a bread and you drop an egg in it and you fry it, and it's like toast and eggs in one. Oh,
all right. That sounds kind of legit. I'm calling it toad in the hole because I don't know what it is, but because when you said toad in the hole, I was like, pigs in a blanket? But then you explained it, I'm like, that's definitely not pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket are really good too, though.
Pigs in a blanket are very good. All right, so toad in the hole. So now with the final pick, I'm going to go with one that is, for me, an absolute favorite. And whenever I see it on a menu, I absolutely order it. Everybody loves a breakfast burrito, but I'm going to tell you that what ups a breakfast burrito are breakfast nachos, which out here are commonly known as chilaquiles. And every time I go to a restaurant and I find chilaquiles, that is an automatic order for me, because breakfast nachos are... It's such a simple concept. Like, hey, why don't you just take nachos? We'll put like eggs and meat and stuff on them. Like, it's just...
What meat do you get on it?
Sometimes I'll get chorizo. Sometimes I'll get, pulled pork or something like that.
I was wondering if they do pulled pork.
Oh, yeah. You can get carnitas. You can get pretty much anything on it. But chilaquiles, man. Those are the best.
There's stuff you need to try out here.
Oh, yeah. You need to check it out. Oh. Now that you're one of us... Now that you're one of us out here. So I don't know, man. This one's gonna be close. I'm looking at the selections here. This vote is going to be very, very close. So I'm looking forward to us putting this out on Twitter, seeing the reaction. And on top of it, hearing from all the people out there, all the things we missed, because that's also part of this thing is everybody.
Where's the bagels?
Right.
I was gonna say we didn't take a bagel,
but I also felt like for me, I can't be the West Coaster with two East Coast people and take bagels. Like, it just felt wrong. it just didn't feel right, so I couldn't do it. But yeah, somebody's gonna say, where are the bagels? There's gonna be something else that I'm sure we missed.
We don't have any seafood breakfasts either.
No, we don't. No, nothing with shrimp or anything like that. So folks, you know, when we put this on Twitter, let us have it. Let us know what we missed, and let us know who won. Laquan, it was great having you. You are now our co-worker, so hopefully we'll be seeing you around the building, and hopefully this is not the last time. We're able to pull you away from the show. Jeff Greenholtz, Director of Research, if you are listening, please give a carve out to Laquan to occasionally come on our podcast. We won't monopolize his time, but we do want him to come back every so often. But in the meantime, actually, I got to ask you, because you are doing other stuff. I mean, I know this is kind of your new gig, but for folks who don't know, what other stuff are you doing out there?
So I'm still writing for Downtown Rams. I'm still out there doing videos for the football guys. And Pat Mayo, I have a show every Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, I'll be on there. Check me out with Step My Lauren and Scott Simpson. We'll be out there putting out the fire content, of course.
All right. And you are, for people who don't know, Laquan is actually a Rams fan.
Yes.
How did that happen as an East Coaster? How did you become a Rams fan?
Man, the first game I watched, let's just put it like that. The first game I watched, it was just – beautiful. Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, like, I came in when they were hot. So it was like they win the Super Bowl that year, and then Nelly's getting hot with St. Louis and stuff. It was just a great time in my life to where, like, you know what? I love the Rams no matter what.
So have you had a chance to take a tour of SoFi Stadium? I mean, you work literally right next door to your team's home stadium. Have you had a chance to tour it yet?
I want to say I'm going today at 3:15.
Okay.
But I still haven't got that email saying I can come.
I just show up on the doorstep, man.
There you go. I'm just going to knock on
just
the door.
Show up maybe if you wear like a Kurt Warner jersey or an Isaac Bruce jersey or something like that, they'll let you roam around there.
Hopefully.
Cool. Congrats on the Super Bowl and apologies in advance for the week one loss.
Oh, that's right. We got a Bills fan here. We got Bills v. Rams.
We're coming in hot.
It's gonna be a fun season.
I can't wait for that already. It's June.
Yeah, it's June.
I'm already looking forward to that.
That is on the calendar for probably the best game like that week.
We have trash talk already on the pod. It's gonna be great. Laquan, dude, appreciate it, man. Welcome to Los Angeles. We'll be seeing you around, but appreciate you stopping by the show for a little bit.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
And for everybody else, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. Take care of yourselves and the folks around you. And we'll talk to you next week.